Read from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Jesus said to the crowd, "They will seize and persecute you. They will hand you over to the synagogues and to prisons. They will have you led before kings and governors because of my name. It will lead to your giving testimony. Remember, you're not to prepare your defense beforehand. For I myself shall give you a wisdom in speaking that all your adversaries will be powerless to resist or refute. You'll even be handed over by parents, brothers, relatives, and friends. They'll put some of you to death. You'll be hated by all because of my name. But not a hair on your head will be destroyed. By your perseverance, you will secure your lives." The Gospel of the Lord. Jesus says not to prepare your defense beforehand. Some of your English majors, I'm sure you heard of Mark Twain. We had to read him back, at least in New York and New Jersey. That was part of our classical literature formation. His pen name is Samuel Clemens. Tom Sawyer, Huckleberry Finn are a couple of his classics, but his greatest writing was Joan of Arc. That surprises a lot of people. Why would this man, he wasn't a Catholic, not even a Christian, why would he write the life of Joan of Arc? He was so impressed at the purity, the holiness of this, the Maid of Orleans, that he just wanted to investigate her life. And he wrote probably the best work ever written on Joan of Arc was written by this individual, Mark Twain. And you can get it from Ignatius Press if you like. I'd like to just take one scene from that related to the Gospel where Jesus says, do not prepare your defense beforehand. Joan of Arc had no real formal education, and she would be better than all of the West Point soldiers put together. Even though she had no formal education, she didn't go to West Point because it didn't exist yet, okay? And eventually she'll be burnt at the stake. She'll be burnt at the stake. But the inquisitors wanted to test her. They asked her a very tricky question. And that tricky question was, "Are you in the state of grace?" Now, if you've ever read the Catechism of the Council of Trent, none of us have an absolute security that we are. None of us. None of us even here. But we can have a moral security. And you come up and receive communion, you're saying, "I believe I'm in the state of grace. I hope you are. But we can lie to ourselves. We can lie, we can rationalize, we can justify. We can do that pretty well. So what was the response of Saint Joan of Arc to the question, are you in the state of grace? She said, if I am not, may God place me there. If I am, thanks be to God. Could any moral theologian have given a more exact response as that? That's the gospel today. I mean, she didn't prepare that defense beforehand. Where did it come from? The Holy Spirit. So if we're living in the state of grace, you have the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit will enlighten you in many circumstances. If you're in the state of grace, if you're not in the state of grace, you're not going to have those lights, because the light has been blown out by that wrong moral choice. So I'd like to jump from the middle of the gospel to the last and tell a story from one of my favorite movies. Jesus says, by your perseverance, you will save your souls. This movie won an Oscar back in the early 80s. The name of the movie is Chariots of Fire. Have you seen it? Chariots of Fire. You might even watch it tomorrow. It wouldn't be a bad movie to watch on Thanksgiving Day. And it's based on a real story of those who are heading toward the Olympic Games in the early 1900s. Presenting the English and the Scottish. The two protagonists was George Abrams, a Jew, and the fleetest of foot of Scotland, where some of my relatives come from, Eric Little. The scene that I like best in the movie is before they arrive at the Olympic Games, and he won't run on the Sabbath. A man of great principle. He's running the 400. Any of you are athletes, the 400 is a quarter of a mile. So he's running against another three athletes. Ready, set, go, boom! They're running side by side. He's running along the edge. The runner next to him, you can see it in the movie, obviously, he should have been eliminated because of that. And Eric Little cascades to the ground. I've done some running in my life when I was younger, especially cross-country running. Running the cross-country race and running the 400 is very different. I'm running cross country, you knock me down, then you still have another 2 miles to go. But if you're knocked down to 400, very often, it's called a sprint. Very often, the sprint is won sometimes by a tenth of a second, or a hundredth of a second. And he's knocked down, he lost at least 4 seconds. That's a lot. So we had to make the decision either to stay down or to get up. He gets up. And he pours it on. And he passes one. He passes the second. And they're arriving close to the finish line, and the guy that knocked him down, he catches up to him and beats him probably by a hundredth of a second. And he falls down and he's panting. And he's panting. And his companions surround him. And then the coach of George Abrahams comes up and says to the Scottish friends, it was not the prettiest of races, but it was the most valiant of races. It wasn't the prettiest of races, but it was the most valiant or courageous of races. All of you right now are Eric Little. You're going to be knocked down. That's the gospel today. You're going to be knocked down. Probably already have been. You can either stay down and throw a pity party. Pobrecito, pobrecito. You can throw a pity party, or you can get up and run the race again. Our founder calls it Nunc Cepi, which means I will start again. Let's pray for each other that to live out that last verse of the gospel is what hit me most in my meditation this morning. By your perseverance, you will save your souls. Here's a question. How many of you have relatives and friends that were baptized, they made their first communion, confirmation, maybe by your age, and they no longer practice their Catholic faith? Any of you have any of those? Do you? We all do. Why are we here and they are not here? Good question, isn't it? Is it because of our keen intellect, our good looks, huh? Or our charm and our wit? Is that the reason why? No way, Jose. We're here because of a pure grace of God. We're here. Often when I'm driving, I see the poor man on the street begging. I'll usually try to give the person something. And I say, why is that person not Boomy Boy, me? Okay? Why am I not that poor man on the street? Simply because of God's infinite love for me. I could be that guy in the street. I could have been a skinhead beneath the George Washington Bridge, being a New Yorker and being white. I could be a skinhead, right, underneath the George Washington Bridge in New York with a bullet in my head when I was 29. I mean, could have been me. Why? Because God is so good. So given that God has given you people so much, you are God's spoiled children, the fact that you come to daily Mass. You come to daily Mass, you have so many graces. And tomorrow's Thanksgiving, right? Be thankful for all that God has given to you. Try to bring many people back to the church. And beg for, as St. Alphonsus Liguori says, beg for the grace of all graces. What is the grace of all graces? To die in the state of grace. Amen.